Good morning, everybody. How are you guys doing today? So welcome to Tickle Lounge. Welcome to this completely shit show of a podcast. I am your host. My name is Sweet Piggy. And I like to welcome those that are new to the podcast. So if you're wondering, like, what is Tickle Lounge about? So what Tickle Lounge is about is a podcast that I myself created back in 2015. And I talk about various different topics within the kink and fetish community. The two kinks that we really focus on this podcast is tickling and foot fetish. Those are the two kinks that we talk about the most, but we talk about various other fetishes, but those are the two that we highlight the most because they're the best and they're awesome. So yes, and myself, I am Sweet Piggy, if you know me as, and you can follow this podcast where? Well, you can follow it on Facebook, on the Facebook page that's called facebook.com/tickle lounge, as well as you can follow us on FetLife. So if you don't know what FetLife is basically a Facebook for fetishes, y'all. It's amazing. Basically Facebook for fetishes. So every single fetish that you can think of is on FetLife. And I have a group on there. And so if you sign up for free and you put in search for groups and you put in Tickle Lounge, you will see there and you can subscribe and follow there. As well, you can follow me personally on different platforms. You can follow me on Sweet Piggy Jones on Facebook, on Instagram, SweetPiggy68, on Twitter, SweetPiggy6, and then also I have a OnlyFans, which is SweetPiggy007. So now that we got that out today, what I also do is I kind of just tell you guys a little bit about my week as well for those new members. So my week, how was it? It was pretty good overall. My week was pretty good overall. So I had a session with a fan like two or three days ago. It was a foot / tickling session, a lot of fun. It was no bondage, unrestricted, but it was a lot of fun. And so that was a good thing. And then another great thing is that a fan wants me to do a custom video of car foot worship / tickling. So that is a cool thing. And then if you guys remember, I said that I was supposed to be meeting up with these two other fans. Yeah, that was a flake. The one fan claimed that he was gonna go into work and never got back in contact with me. So, but for those that do not know, this is a regular routine that happens in Georgia. Since I've been living here for 13 years in Georgia, a lot of men here flake. So that's just the way they do. They talk the talk, but they can't do the walk. That's what I noticed with men in Georgia. I really haven't seen any men in Georgia actually like stick to what they say. It's always, they flake somehow. So to me, I'm not really, really surprised that these two just kind of like flake and whatever. This is why I like playing with people from other states, because y'all fucking commit. Georgia, I don't know why they can't fucking commit. So yes. So, and of course you guys always know I do an asshole of the week. So we are going to do an asshole of the week. So I have several. So. Foot guys, you guys are the target this week for my assholeness. Okay, so number one, for those that do not know, I am a fetish model. I do different sessions and I do pictures and everything else like that. I am a fetish model that does bondage. I do tickling and I do feet. And so because I am a fetish mom, that's not my main job. That's not the one that makes my bread and butter, whatever like that. That is something I do on the side and I enjoy it. And I've been doing it since I was 19 years old. So I've been doing it for 17 years. I know I don't look like it, but I've been doing it for 17 years. If you do the math, you can figure out how old I am. Since I was 19 at 17, figure it out. So I charge for my sessions. I charge. If you don't like that, then go somewhere else, because there are other young ladies and there are other models that do it for free. And that's great from them. But you know what I found out is that two reasons why I charge. Number one is because of fucking commitment, because y'all motherfuckers will freaking flake out on people. I'm also a special needs mother as well. My son has special needs. I have to find a fucking babysitter. I have to pay that fucking babysitter. So when you fucking flake on me, I just lost money. So you think that I'm going to do something for free where I have to pay for babysitting? And then, yeah, no. So that's one reason I charge, is for that commitment. Because when you pay, you're committed. So yeah, because you spent money, so you definitely going to show the fuck up. So that's one reason. Number two is appreciation, because when I was doing stuff for free, majority of you guys didn't fucking care and like was like, oh, entitlement. And I'm just like, no, 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 no. So, and then third, why can't I? Nothing in this world is majority free. Everything you pay for. If you're hungry, you go into the store and you buy food. They don't really give out free food unless you're going to like a church pantry or food shelter or whatnot. But if you go out to McDonald's, Burger King, Red Robin, Ruth Chris, any of these restaurants, you have to pay, right, for their service, and you gotta tip the waiter. Well, you should tip the waiter or the waitress. So why is it like all you foot guys are just gonna get these little attention tantrums when a person says that you have to pay to have a session? And my prices are fucking cheap and very affordable. So I don't know why you guys are fucking throwing a tantrum like a fucking 2-year-old. Just being cunts. That's all you guys are being. So I'm calling out this guy on Instagram. His name is Big Chopper from Atlanta, same city that I live in. And in the beginning, he saw the reels that I do because I post up previews of my sessions. I asked the guy that I have my session with, like, hey, can I record this and post it on my social media? Majority of them says yes. So I recorded some of the session and I post it for you guys so you guys can enjoy. That content is for free. If you want additional minutes of it or hours of it, you have to pay to go see that. Common sense. Just like movie trailers. They show you the trailer of the movie to get you sucked in and you have to pay to go see the movie, or you can get on bootleg or either one. So, but yeah. So he comes and messaged me, this guy, Big Chopper, comes and messaged me and it's just like, oh, your feed is amazing. It's great. Whatever like that. Where are you at? And I say, like, I'm in the Atlanta area. And he's like, oh, I'm in Atlanta. How do I get to worship those gorgeous feet of yours? I'm like, well, you have to book a session with me. You have to pay. And I say, it's for every 20 minutes is $25. Now, a lot of you guys are like, what? Say that again. Yes. For every 20 minutes is $25 is what I pay for a foot session. A lot of people don't get those type of prices. A lot of people are like, so I get to worship your feet for 20 minutes and I pay $25. Done. A lot of you guys know that, like, damn, that's fucking cheap and fucking affordable. That's amazing. No, this guy goes on a tantrum and then starts cursing me out, called me a bitch. And then started degrading me and saying, like, oh, with those ugly ass feet of yours, no stank ass feet, you want someone to pay for that? That's bullshit, you bitch, and everything else like that. Fucking disrespectful and rude. That is a life of a model. Check your boys, okay? Had another guy that, now I understand that some of you guys may find me attractive, which I appreciate the compliment. Very much to the compliment that you guys find me attractive. I love it that you guys compliment me on my feet and my body. That's very nice. However, I'm not going to date one of you guys. I like to put that out there. I'm not going to date one of you guys. I don't know who the fuck you guys are. I don't know you guys from Adam. I'm not going to date you. Okay. So even though you are attracted to me and attracted to my feet, that does not make me or make you a qualified and good mate. I'm sorry. It just really, really doesn't. So you trying to date me is not the way, is not going to happen, because I don't date random guys from the internet like that, that are on my page because they have a heart on. That is not attracted to me. I'm sorry. I've done it before in the past, learned my lesson. Guys just only want to date me just to get like free sessions. I don't do that. So yeah. So this other guy, his name is Silence. Oh, Silence, Fasi or something like that on Facebook. Didn't understand no as an answer, because he kept coming on really strong with all these nice words and whatever like that, and could not take no as an answer. Like, I'm not interested in you. I don't want to date you. No, no, no. Was not taking no as an answer. I had to block him. Then he came from another account and started doing the same thing again. I had to block that account. So let it be known, if a woman says no, it means no. Leave her the fuck alone. Like, that is, it's creepy as being an asshole. And of course, the usual dick pics and all this other stuff. So those are my asshole of the week. But today, we're done with that. But today, we're going to have a special guest. I have a special guest coming in. And we're going to be talking about this topic that is a goodler versus a badler. So let me bring in Coey to come in. Some of you guys may know Coey because he used to do videos and stuff. So let me bring him in. For some reason, I cannot find, there we go. Figured it out, I'm using Zoom. Give me a second. So Coey should be coming in. There he is. Like, he has his camera off. Okay, there we go. Can you hear me and see me?
I can hear and see.
Okay, so why don't you tell people about yourself? Because I let them know that you're my special guest. So tell everybody about yourself.
My name is Reginald. My bag is, my name is Cowie. That's my nickname. I've been in this fetish world for about a while, like a couple of years. I enjoy tickling. I enjoy feet, and I'm very particular how it's done, and it's, I believe it's an art to it. Personally, I do. I do honestly. I believe it's an art to it. I believe not everybody can do it.
Well, we're gonna talk about that. But you
asked me to tell you about myself. Yeah, that's what I mean. I've made a couple of videos myself. I'm a little bit of an amateur. I'm an amateur producer. From 2014 to I say about 2017, I made amateur videos on YouTube and for Facebook. And I just love it.
All right, so that is Coey for you guys. So he is here. He's my special guest because, as you can tell, he's very passionate about what he's going to talk about, what makes a goodler and what makes a badler. So for those of you that are not familiar with terms, let me explain the terms. Okay, so in the tickling community, sorry, foot people, this is not about y'all, so y'all can take a seat unless you guys have a tickling fetish too. But if you just only have a foot fetish, this is not applying to you, so you can sit on down. Okay, unless you want to learn. So in the tickling community, we have three distinct roles in the tickling community. We have those that are ticklers, which are abbreviated as lures. So what lures are those that tickle the person. That is their whole role, is that they tickle the person. And then we have something that's called a tickle lee, or we abbreviate and call it a lee. That is the person that is getting tickled. So we have the lure that's doing the tickling, and then we have the lead that is actually receiving the tickling. And then we have another role that's called a switch. A switch can do both roles, can be the lure 1 minute and then be the lead the next minute. So we have these three distinct roles in the tickling community. And so there is, like Chloe said, there is an art to this shit. Okay, so a lot of people think that, oh, I just put my hands on somebody and I just go like this.
No.
And bada bing, they are laughing hysterically. No, motherfuckers, there's an art. There's an art, this technique to it. And so we're going to talk about, all of us together are going to talk about what makes a good lure, what makes a bad lure. So I propose this question on all my social media, but the only people that responded was on my FetLife. So what I posted was, my question is, what makes a good lure in your opinion? What is the standard? What are you looking for in a video and or session? What makes a bad lure? What are the things that you look for in a video and in a session for a bad lure? Can't wait to hear what you guys said. So here are what some people said in the comments on FetLife. Sensual Tickler said, I would say that a good lure would either have good bondage or at least hold down their lead while securing, while tickling. I also like to see two on one, which basically what he's saying that he like game tickling. That is another topic for another podcast about game tickling, where one person will hold the lead's hands above their head again securely while the lure tickles them. And then I asked this person, is there anything else? Because he kind of gave it like a very superficial answer. But he didn't comment on that. So he didn't comment on that. What did you say, Cody?
He wasn't really a direct answer. It was kind of all over the place.
Yes. And then we have Tickle Switch. That says a good lure is someone who can get into their lead's head. IMHO, the lead must be bound. For me, part of the thrill of watching someone being tickled is that they are helpless to stop it, totally at the mercy of the lure. What makes a great lure is the ability to instill dread in the lead, to get the lead so worked up that the anticipation of the tickling is almost as bad as tickling itself. That feeling can amplify the effect of the tickling. And then they mentioned me and say, at Sweet Piggy, one thing I used to love about your description of how you tickle people is that you agree to give them their safe word to stop you. But then once you had them tied up and start tickling them, you would just keep going if they use the safe word. What makes a great video or a session is when the lead totally freaks out because they are overwhelmed by the tickling and can't get away from it or make it stop. That's why I think bondage is a requirement for tickling. So after that was said, because if you notice, you guys are probably wondering, you guys heard that, I'm like, whoa. Did they say sweet? They just said that you ignore people using the safe word. And that's what happened with all the other comments going down this thread. Sentiel was like, ignoring safe words, the yikes for me. And then Bella, like blah, 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 was doing the same thing about like, sweet, you ignore safe words and everything else like that. So I like to clarify, because this is how gossip and fucking rumors get started, y'all. You want to see how it gets started? Want to see how drama and gossip get started? It's like this. No, I don't fucking ignore safe words, y'all. First of all, if anybody has ever played with me, you know I don't even a safe word. That's the, like, I'm like, what the fuck? I don't even give safe words, okay? So, number one, you got to know what a safe word is, y'all. Because some of you guys are like, what is a safe word? A safe word is when you are playing with somebody and you're doing a session, a scene, or play, whatever the three technical words that you want to use. You and another person are doing something that you guys share a fetish together, whether it's a top and a bottom, a dom and a sub, a lure and a lee, whatever like that. And when the play gets too much, or the scene gets too much, or the session gets too much,
gets too intense.
Very good. It gets too intense. The bottom, the sub, or the lead can yell at a word, and then the person that's on top, the dom or the lur, is supposed to stop. No more. They're supposed to untie you or let you out of bondage and just stop. And the scene and session or play stops and everybody goes home. That is what a safe word is. For me, I do not use them. And this is the reason why you guys have been like, that's fucking dangerous, sweet. No, I don't use them because you motherfuckers abuse them. That's the reason why. You guys, before I even touch you guys would yell out the safe word. And I was like, so then I untie you. And then you're like, no, I don't want you untie me. I'm like, well, you fucking said the safe word. So this is what I learned in the very start of me like doing sessions. Because remember, I've been doing sessions since I was 18. So I have 18 years experience on this shit. And so you guys will start using, well, thank you. You guys will start saying the safe word when you guys haven't even been like, it's not even intense or anything like that. Even when like I tie you up, you're like, safe word, red. And I'm just like, okay. And so I'm like, and then you're like, wait, I want you to, I'm like, no. You already said the fucking safe word. I can't touch you. And like, well, I didn't mean it. I did. And I was like, no. So after going through that, yes, Kobe.
I want to chime in on that. I think a lot of people don't really understand the dynamics of the safe word too. Like like I said about this, the art form of this, people go into these things not fully understanding and not fully educated how this shit works.
Exactly. So what I do, and I started doing this when I started having sessions at 18, and I'm just like, okay, all these motherfuckers are saying the safe word too early, and I'm not even be able to play with them. So after a year long of a lesson from 18 to 19, at 19, I decided I'm not going to give them a safe word. I'm going to tell them this. I'm going to tickle you for a minimum of 2 hours. And I'm going to give, and that is what you have to agree to. You have to agree to me tickling you for at least an hour to 2 hours. And in that hour to 2 hours, I'm going to give you a word so I would know that I have pushed you past your limits. But I'm still not going to stop because I'm going to tickle you for an hour to 2 hours. Now, if you have to go to the bathroom, then this is the word that you're going to use that you have to go to the bathroom or just scream out potty or something like that. But this is the word I'm going to give you because I don't do tickle to pee. That's disgusting to me. But that's another podcast for another session. But here's a word for if you need to go potty. And then, but this is the word that you're going to let me know that I have pushed you past your limits because that's what I want to do for you. I am that type of lure. I am not like the playful cutesy lure and whatever like that. I'm the type of lure that was like, I want to push you past your limits. It will push you further than that and push you further than that. But I discuss that with my lead. Discuss that with the guy before I play. So for that person, Tickle Swish, to take what I do and misinterpret it and then get everybody thinking that I'm a horrible person, because you are a horrible person in the BDSM community if you do ignore safe words. You're a horrible person and you get blacklisted, like don't play with this person because they're a horrible individual. And of course, yeah. Tickle Swish came on later on the thread, like when I cleared up later on the threat, like what I actually do, they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I guess I forgot. And I didn't mention, like, no, motherfucker, that's why you don't say shit. I'm like, if you don't remember or how I play or never play with me, then don't say what I do and don't do. If you never play with me or you don't remember how I mention it, this is how rumors, gossip, and drama start. So I cleared it up. If y'all want to think that I'm a horrible person, then I'm just going to give you this, then fuck off. Then I'm a horrible person to you. But people that play with me and still ask to play with me, guess what? They don't think I'm a horrible person because they still fucking remember the sessions they have with me years afterwards. So obviously I'm not that horrible of a person. So Now we're going to talk. Now that we got that out the way of a tickle switch trying to start rumors and drama and gossip, probably started it. But I, now that I cleared it up, if you guys want to believe it, y'all can believe it.
You feel better now?
Yeah, that was really nice. I got that off my chest.
You had your moments of Tourette's.
I have some Tourette's.
You had your moment of Tourette's out.
No, it was a moment of clearing my name on bullshit that a person was trying to do. So not happy with that. And I know that I'm never going to play with Tickle Switch. I know that. I have no desire to meet them, play with them, or anything like that, because they tried to start bullshit. And I don't play with people that try to start bullshit and drama and rumors and gossip, especially about me. So when it's about me, definitely no. And when it's about another person, definitely no either. So drama fill, don't deal with drama fill. But you, now the topic at hand. Okay, so Coey, tell me, what is your definition of what makes a good lure? Because I have my own definition.
Ah, okay.
What's yours?
My definition of a good lure is that someone who pays attention to detail.
Amen.
Like, sometimes if you're really good at what you do, you have to pick up on the, not only the verbal cues, but the nonverbal cues.
What do you mean by that? The verbal cues and the nonverbal cues. What, go into detail about that, please. Because some people don't know what that means.
Nonverbal cues is that you have to pay attention to how people are breathing, how their bodies are actually responding. Because sometimes, especially if you use a certain tool, you have to, if you use a certain tickle tool, you have to understand, you have to pay attention to how they're responding, because you could be hurting them, not tickling them.
Wait. So are you saying that I actually have to look at my lead and actually pay attention to them, and it's not all about me?
Yes.
Oh my God.
First of all, what people don't understand is that tickling fetish is actually a subculture of BDSM. And
yes.
in that community, it's about transferring energy. When you are, because like you said, when you're a lure, which is the dominant person, that lead who is submissive is transferring their energy to you.
Oh, yes. Okay, keep going.
So, you have to respect that, because it's not always about your pleasure. This person's doing this too. It's supposed to be pleasurable for them. I feel like if you are a lee, I feel like if you are a tickler and you're only about your pleasure, then you're missing the whole point of the session.
Wait, can you say that again?
Rewind. If you are a tickler and you only worry about your pleasure, you are a bad tickler. You are a bad dominant. Because like anything with this dominant submissive culture, it's about transfer energy and that person and trust.
Are you saying that if somebody is playing with me and they only care about getting their needs fulfilled, that makes them a bad lure?
Yes.
And so you're saying that these guys and women, I don't really know about much about female lures. I know more about male lures because I play with them. Are you saying that a lot of these guys out here, that it's all about, like, you are supposed to fulfill me, bitch, and that's all it? You're saying that these are bad lures?
Yes. Because there's a borderline between being a tickler and a masochist. And I even met masochists who are even known their levels of retrust, of trusting their submissives. So if someone who's in around here who's a masochist can respect their submissive, why can't a tickler? My thing is, as a tickler, it's supposed to be fun. And me being someone who basically pay attention to his tickleese, if they're not having fun, I'm not going to have fun. Because I can pick up the nonverbal cues. And when I talk about the nonverbal cues, you got, if they're breathing hard, you could be a little too harsh. Slow it down. If they're grunting, you may be tickling too hard. Go light. And if they feel uncomfortable, if it's a nervous laugh, you're supposed to ease them.
So you're saying that as a lure, I'm really, really, really supposed to pay really close attention to my Lee. I'm supposed to read her or his body language. I'm supposed to understand that, I'm supposed to understand the difference between nervous laughter, tickling laughter, and then maybe this hurts laughter. You're trying to say that I need to distinguish between all three of these.
Yes.
So the question that everyone's probably thinking, like, okay, I get that, Coey. I get that I'm supposed to pay attention to them. I'm supposed to distinguish. How do I learn to do that? How do I learn to focus on my Lee? How do I do that?
First of all, like you said, if you're playing with somebody for the first time, you do sit down and you talk to them. You talk to them and ask them, what are you comfortable with? What are your boundaries? And then once they tell you those, you have to respect those boundaries. And at times you have to be, like, for example, if you have someone who likes to be tickled, but right at the moment they just want the upper body tickled because they're not comfortable with the lower body, that's just something you have to respect. And if it's something that, as a tickler, if it's something that you're not into, you need to let that tickler know, hey, look, you thought the ticklee, okay, I like full body. I don't think I'm going to be comfortable, and move on. Where a lot of people, what a lot of ticklers do is that I think is a cardinal sin in my book. Never lure your tickleee into a false sense of comfortability.
Oh.
Especially if it's bonded tickling. Because this, like I said, that transfer of energy. This person is for an hour or 2 hours. For that amount of time, that person has transferred their trust, their energy, and their body to you. And they're trusting to respect it. And a lot of tickleees, they get drunk off power. And you can tell, because when they get drunk off power, they become sloppy ticklers. Especially if you're doing videos. Because I've seen some videos where that motherfucker, like, he tickled like I've seen someone who tickled like they fucking retarded. Like, oh my God, like, calm your ass down. Because, you know, he don't know what the hell he's doing.
So, for you, your definition, so Coey's definition of being a goodler is, number one, so just to recap for you guys, because you're just like, I still don't get it. I need bullet points. Let me help. Okay, so Coey's definition of a goodler is, number one, is that you basically make a connection with your Lee. Like, yeah. You make a connection with them before the session and during the session. Another thing is that you have to pay attention to your Lee. Another thing is that you need to put your desires and your Lee's desires on the same level. One is not supposed to, it needs to be a balance, and you need to check in with your Lee and make sure that they feel secure, it's trusting, because just like you said, it is a transfer of energy, is a transfer of trust. They are trusting you in the situation. And I believe what you said, especially if there's bondage involved, that is a huge amount of trust and whatnot, especially for a female to trust a male not to do anything. So that's what you're saying that makes a goodler, correct?
Yeah.
So you guys are probably wondering, like, well, sweet, what's your definition? My definition of a goodler is, I'm going to piggyback off of Coey because I agree with him. I support him too. My definition of a goodler is somebody that, number one, that you can trust. Number one, you have to have trust. And number two, you have to really, like he said, you have to connect with your lead. What I do in my sessions, when I notice it's the first time someone's playing, like this is their very first session and everything else like that, we talk. Like, I don't do anything to them. I want them to be comfortable, because guess what? If they are nervous or agitated or whatever, or anxious, that changes the amount of them being ticklish.
Exactly.
So if you have someone that's anxious, nervous, holding back, don't really trust you all the way, don't feel in a comfortable position, they're not going to be as ticklish as you want them to. And if you both want a really good experience from this, and if you as a lure are drunk and off, like, I really, really want that person to be really, really ticklish, you have to make sure that your lead is really comfortable. So what I do is, like, we just talk. We're just like, you know what? We don't have to do anything that you don't want to do. You know, let's just sit here and talk. Or what we do is, like, I, as you guys know, I'm a huge blurred, which is basically a black nerd. I'm a huge nerd. I'm like, let's put on some Marvel because DC sucks. Okay, so let's put on some Marvel. And so we watch some Marvel. And so they, I mean, how can you be nervous and anxious off of watching my husband, Captain America, Chris Evans on TV? Like, you can't be nervous off of that. And so let's watch the end scene of Endgame, which was amazing. Let's watch that. And so, you know, they started to relax a little bit. And then I was like, do you mind if we can do like a little bit of a tickle fight, just like, with no bondage? And so then we did that, and then they're like, okay, I think I'm ready now to be bound. And then I bound them, and then I tell them, like, I am not going to go anywhere that you don't want me to go. You always going to see my hands, because that's something that that is, hold on, I just want to, guys, gotta get my child a hug. Okay, so that's something that I do, is that I make sure that that they always see my hands, because I don't want the guy thinking that I'm trying to do something on him, because whether people believe it or not, women do rape men. Now, it's not always men raping women. Women do rape men too. So I want them to know that I'm not going to do anything sexual. And that's something that I have in my boundaries thing. It's like, there's going to be no sex between me and you whatsoever. There's not going to be any oral, hand jobs, foot jobs, 69, anal, none of that. It's going to be none of that. And your comfort level is how much clothes that you wear.
I want to touch that ass.
Exactly. That's what some guys think. But for me, I do not do any of that with any guy unless you are my mate. And I don't even feel comfortable. I mean, if the guy wants to get completely naked, yeah, but I haven't had many guys be naked. They're usually in their boxers or basketball shorts. That's usually where they take it to, unless they are my mate. Then they get naked. But then that's another podcast for another time. But that's one of the things I found to be a good lure. And then my whole thing that I'm very, very big on with being a good lure is that you have to know the fucking body. You have to know the body, y'all. Yeah. You have to know the body. If you do not know that there are muscles and nerves that go throughout the whole entire body,
thanks,
then you're not going to be as successful as a lure. Now, am I saying that you got to go out and go to med school and all this other shit? No, I'm not saying do all that. I'm saying that picking up a book from the thrift store about muscles and whatnot will help you out being a good lure, or just knowing what spots require a soft touch, a medium touch, a hard touch, or whether it requires me to do the lobster or crab is a better technique, or whether
lobster,
it is,
or crab. That's a new one for me.
Yeah, lobster or crab, because it looks like a lobster or crab. Or is it the kneeing position, like you're like kneeing like bread like this, or do you need to knee like this? But and then you have to notice the pressure to give on certain muscles in certain spots as well. That's really important. Do you know that there are 12 ribs to an individual? Like, there's 12 ribs, and then there are like two floating ribs, You guys know that? Do you know that in between that, each individual
rib? Yeah, I do know about that flow ribs.
Huh?
I do know about the floating ribs.
Yeah, it says there's two floating ribs, and they're called floating ribs because they're not really attached to the rib cage. You guys know that. And they're down, I'll show you guys, like I'll fold up here. They're down here. So you go down here, and these are the floating ribs down here. Do you guys know that? Do you know that in between each individual rib, there are ribs up here too, y'all? There are ribs that come, the first rib comes out right here, and then they go like this. So all this.
Did I learn something new?
Are ribs. All this is ribs. So all these come down right here. Do you know in between the ribs, like, hold on, like right here, you can feel it on yourself, y'all. You can actually practice on yourself. Right between here, so right here, you feel this bone, and then right above it, there's another bone in between these two fingers I have. That is a space. That space, it's full of nerve, y'all. There's nothing but nerves all in that space between those two ribs. That is the best place to get into to tickle somebody's ribs. When everyone's thinking of ribs, they're thinking the actual ribs. No, you have to place your hands within the rib space. That's what it's called. I mean, the fancy medical term is intercostal spaces because the ribs are called intercostals. But the technical term is intercostal space that is filled with nothing but nerves. That's the reason why when you have a rib pop out, it hurts like a motherfucker because the nerves around that area. So if you can go in there and you can, this is a technique that you want to do when you are tickling the intercostal. You want to go like this type of motion. You can go like this. Or you can do like a squeezy motion, or you can even do like a lobster motion like that. But you have to be careful because since it is with tons and tons and tons of nerves, it's very sensitive. So if you go too hard, you're going to hurt your lead. And everybody has a different pain tolerance. That's why you start out gentle, and then you go a little bit more and more, and it's not that you're going harder, it's just you're putting a little bit more pressure into it. That's what you do, and you can practice on yourself, like, okay, so let me practice on myself with like pressure, like, oh, that's a lot of pressure right there, like, oh, this is enough pressure to invent something like that. Or another great thing to do, which is technique, which you don't see people do anymore, is the vibrating. If you can vibrate your fingers or your nails or your finger pads, that is the best technique to use, especially on the ribs. So if you go like this and you do like a vibration type of thing like this, like vibrating like this or vibrating like this, that sends a energy, I like how you use that word, sends an energy, a ticklish energy to all those nerve endings right there, and it tickles more. So as you guys are saying, like, wow, sweet, you're really, yes, I'm knowledgeable. I was like, because I studied it. I studied the body and I study where muscles are at and everything else like that. That's what makes you a good lure because you know the body. And then for me, another thing that makes you a good lure is that you know technique. Not every single person is the same. And as a good lure, you know that. You know that not everybody is the same. Everybody may have the same body. Like all women have like breasts and, you know, and vaginas and everything, you know, we got, you know, I mean like, and guys, you know, you guys got your chest, you guys got your dick and everything. So every guy has that and every girl has this and that. Okay. But everybody has different degrees of sensitivity. Yep. And if you don't understand that and you think that everybody is like a cookie book and everybody that I need to tickle everybody the same, that's not true. There's some guys I have tickled in my 18 years that respond very, very well to soft tickling, gentle, soft tickling. That's what they respond to. There are some guys that respond to medium tickling. Medium style. There's some people that respond to really hard getting in their rough tickling. And then there's some guys that like, you need to do a combination of all three.
Well, shit.
That you need to know that. And you need to figure it out because they're not going to know it. Your lead doesn't really know what really works for them. They just know like, oh, I'm just extremely ticklish. So you as the person, think of yourself when you're alert, think of yourself as a detective. We're playing a game. We're playing the detective game of remember when your kids call and guess who? I'm going to guess which one's going to make you more ticklish. Okay, that's the game that you got to play in your mind. Like, okay, I'm going to start out, I'm going to go light and increase it. And I'm going to watch their breathing and watch how they shake or pull away to see did that work or not. Because you can immediately tell when something's really ticklish by someone because you are paying attention and you're not just going off of like, oh, I'm rock hard and everything else. Like, no, you're paying attention to your lead. And that's how you can tell. Even if your lead doesn't even laugh and try to hold in your laughter, I can even tell the guy is holding in his laughter without even looking at him because how his body tenses up. If you notice that your lead does like a really quick flinch like this or like does like by, they're trying to hold in their laughter and you hit a good spot.
Very true.
You need to watch for that. You need to feel that underneath your fingers, your nails or anything, everything else like that. I am the type of person because I'm very old school. I'm old school. I don't use tools. Now Cody says that do you use tools or do you not use tools?
I do when I get sometimes.
See, so I'm a person, so me and Cody were different. I'm a type of person that I really believe that if a lure is good enough, I don't need a tool. Only tools that I need is my lovely nails and my finger pads and my mouth. Those are the only three things that I need. For that. And also, wait, you know what I also found out? Oh, these things called feet, they work very well too with tickling people too. So those are the only four things that I need. Oh, sorry, I forgot the fifth thing. My teeth. So five things that I think that a lure can really do and get any response that you want is with your nails, your fingers, your mouth, your teeth, and your feet.
Why do I feel like we're the kiddie? Why do I feel like this is a kiddie show for adults? Sesame Street for adults.
Your hands,
your feet. Is this what it's showing?
I was trying not to,
but I couldn't help it. I'm just like, this feels like Sesame Street for adults. Now look here, kids. We're gonna teach you how to do this. First, you use your hands, then your feet. You don't need this. All you need is these.
I mean, that personally is me. And from my experience where I have pushed guys to their limit, those are the five things that I completely use. And then once again, guys, and you guys think I'm playing with my feet. No, my feet has gotten great responses. My toes can go into certain places that maybe my fingers and my nails can't get to. I mean, feet is amazing when you want to tickle armpits, the intercostal space, the sides, and everything. They're amazing to get to. So the same thing with your mouth and your teeth. You can like nibble along the intercostal spaces or use your tongue and flick your tongue around it. See, these are things that if you don't experiment, because it's all about experimenting. That's all that it is. You have to experiment. So if you don't experiment and step out the box and stop looking at these horrible tickling videos that y'all looking at, then you guys would never know. But that's what I think makes a good lure. Do you have anything else to add, Cody? Because you use tools. So maybe you can tell them like what makes you a good lure by using tools.
Well, are you sure? You sure now?
I mean, some guys like using tools. I mean, I don't use tools during my session.
I felt attacked. Like, I don't need, you use tools. I'm so picky with you right now. Look here. Look, I know this is a podcast, but I gotta have some fun with it. But my thing is for me when I was doing videos, I just use the tools just to just spice the video up. But if I'm like doing like a, but if I'm just doing a session, I mostly use my hands. Because, I mean, I said the tools are just for the video. It's like, you know, I'm just doing this to spice the video and all that stuff. But if I'm not, if I'm doing a session and it's not recorded, I mostly use my hands. And I noticed what a good tool, like, first of all, because what happened is, even when you're using tools, you have to really be careful.
Because you detail about that. What do you mean you have to be careful? Tasha uses a brush on people's feet.
You going to let me talk or you going to let me? I'm going to explain. I know you're not used to having nobody on here, but I'm on here. Let me talk. I got this.
Yes,
I noticed a lot of videos, when they use tools, they're using them incorrectly.
Oh, what do you mean?
Very incorrectly. When you use, I'll give an example. When you're using a brush, never use a metal brush.
Oh, why is that?
First and foremost, metal brushes cause micro tears in the soles.
Are you saying that a metal brush will actually hurt your leaves? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes, because what happened is a plastic brush is better because you get a better response. Mm-hmm. Especially if you do light tickles. Like, first of all, brushes are for light tickling, not hard tickling.
What?
A lot of things that people do in the videos is when they do hard tickling. You're basically hurting your leaf and basically causing the body to go tense up, which is going to affect the sensitivity.
You heard that, y'all? Keep going, please.
when you're using the brush, and in fact, you can actually use the brush not only. I learned that you can use the brush in other places. But you mostly
like
see
what?
You can, like, if you have someone like you said with the like, one time I took a brush and I lightly combed it over the space between someone's rib cage, and she responded really well. And it's like, what happens is when you use the brush, it's like 1,000 little fingers. If you're doing it right, it's like 1,000 little fingers, like you said, it sends that tickling sensation, but you got to do it lightly. Because if you do it fast, you can hurt that person. And you can use a brush on the thighs. If they got ticklish thighs, you could use it lightly over their thighs. And then as far as an electric toothbrush, I've always believed the electric toothbrush, one, it's an annoying tool, personally.
Really? Why is that? Because everybody swears for it, for the feet. That's what you see in videos. They always bust out the brush and then bust out the electric toothbrush. So, or the electric flosser.
Look, the electric toothbrush is an overused tool. Electric toothbrush should only be pulled out every now and again. And then it's not for every place because it can hurt, like, an electric toothbrush, like if you use it off a toothbrush, I think it's good for take in between the toes or lightly brushed over the ribs, or even if somebody got ticklish nipples, you just use that. But when you overuse it, like my point is, when you overuse tools, can have a tendency to cause the body to become desensitized. And there's things that you can use it hard, and there's things that you can use lightly. And half the time, they use tools too hardly. Like I said, they brush, they rake over there. Like Tasha, like I said with boss Tasha, she used the brush wrong.
Did you just say that Tasha uses something wrong? What, everybody thinks that this is like the tickle goddess? You think that she's doing something wrong?
Yeah, I think I've always thought. Yeah, I've always thought sometimes
I always thought she was sometimes I think she's a shit tickler.
Oh, wow. Well, everyone knows how I feel about her. So everyone's not know that I'm not surprised by what you just said. I feel that she's not, she's a mediocre-ler.
She's okay.
And so I find a lot of the lures off of tickle abuse to be mediocre lures. I don't see that they are anything fantastic. I give them like C's because as a professor, I will give them all C's, but I wouldn't really say that they're incredible, but I understand why people think that they're incredible because people don't know the old school tickler.
First of all,
they only know this one company and these women. So that's why I give it to people like, well, you guys don't know the old schoolers, so y'all don't know better.
First of all, tools are fun every now and again. Like, I feel like tools should be used for blindfold tickling. Like, if somebody's blindfolded and you're just trying to do sensory play. But if you're just doing regular tickling, it's just nothing beats your hands. Because
what well, I have a question, Coey. How do you feel about lures that only go that lures? Because you have a foot fetish yourself as well. How do you feel that
lures? Put my ass on out there. Why don't you fuck with
yourself? Nothing wrong with having a foot fetish.
I'm picking. But
guys are amazing. How do you feel about lures that the only thing they want to do is just tickle the woman's feet because they have another fetish? How because do you feel about that?
I think they're one dimensional.
Oh, what? Say that again? What? Say it for people in the back.
I was a victim of that. I'm like, one dimensional.
Especially is that the qualities of a good lure, just being one dimensional?
No, first and foremost, I think my thing is about that is like, you have to learn, like I told you before, you have to know a balance with this. There's a time and place. If you want to do a foot tickling video, okay, that's great. But after a while, they get boring because I've actually watched a video from my experience. It was 28 minutes long. And all he did was tickle the feet. And I'm not going to lie, I was bored.
28 minutes?
28 fucking minutes.
That's a long time. Oh my God. I would have probably fell asleep.
He had a situation where they found out she had ticklish knees. And he started touching the knees. Like, okay, this is different. Then he stopped and went back. So, okay, now I'm bored again.
So basically, it kind of goes back to what me and you were saying, is that you have to read your Lee's body and pay attention to your Lee and not only be selfish and be all about you, but not be one dimensional. So that's basically what you're saying, is that we're going right back to that same point that we mentioned earlier, is that you need not to be about yourself and to be about the lead.
And I'm also going to speak, if you're going to be not only a tickler and you're going to also be a person who sells content, you really got to not be one-dimensional. Like, you're already setting yourself, I feel like if you're just a one-dimensional tickler and you're trying to sell content, you already set up for failure. You already shot yourself in the foot. You shot yourself in the foot before you even started running.
Well, I can tell, I can say that from my experience, because since I've been doing this for 18 years, I have met, and this is the reason why I'm not a fan of foot tickling, is because many men have just like, they'll tickle my upper body for about like maybe about 10 to 15 minutes. And then they'll spend the rest of the time on my feet. And it is really boring. And also, like you said, the girl becomes, or your lead becomes desensitized to that because you're only staying in one spot and you're not going anywhere else. a person will come desensitized to your tickling if you're staying in one spot, y'all. Yeah. You guys need to understand that. Even when, and this is once again from experience, even when you find a sweet spot on an individual as a lure, you have to know that I have to balance that, because if I overuse this really ticklish spot, they're not going to be as ticklish. So I have to balance it out. Either I have to tickle that one spot and then go to another spot and tickle that at the same time, so it's a dual sensation, or I have to do something else to balance that. I need to tickle here for a couple and then move and then go back. And
I wanted to clear the air about something too when I did videos, because I had a couple of people who came to me and said, your videos are boring because you only focus on the feet. And I wanted to say, for the record, it was not my decision. Like you said, that's what I wanted to say was, like you talked, what I told you earlier about, you have to talk about people's comfortability.
Mm-hmm.
When I did the videos, a lot of the females were not comfortable with the upper body tickling, because that's where they were really ticklish at. But in my head, like, that's the most ticklish. That's the shot I should be fucking tickling. And a lot of people understand when I was doing those videos, I was frustrated and bored, because it was just like, why did you come over here and do this stuff? Because the places that sometimes I didn't want to just tickle the feet, like there was other places that were ticklish. Like I had this one girl, for example, I had this one girl at a session with, her upper body was extremely ticklish. And I enjoyed doing that. It was fun. But then she's like, no, you can only do feet. But then after a while, I was just bored. And I actually just ended the session. I'm about to go home.
How long were you tickling her on her feet then?
I was on there almost 20 minutes.
Oh, no.
They wanted to come. They came over to my house. They had to set. It was supposed to be for an hour. But there was this person who was so ticklish. Everything was ticklish on them. Everything. And I'm like, holy shit. But then it was like, oh, I can't take it. I can't take it. Just do my feet. And then I was like, bored. And my thing is, don't get me wrong. This is one of the reasons why I should talk to you. I tell people, I said earlier, talk to people first before you have sessions. Because I had situations where I scheduled these sessions and I already had them in places. I already paid for the room, shit and everything, put things in place. And they wait till they get there to tell me all the things that's off limits. Instead of telling me ahead of time. And then they get mad at me. And then they get mad at me because I'm just not interactive. Like, so we're talking about the transfer energy. The energy, like you said, if the energy's off, your session's not going to be fun. Because it's like, I explained to them, you could have told me this before I set this up. This is what you're not comfortable with. Don't wait till you get in my presence and tell me that. That's something you should, before we even set this up, like you said, set this up, what's your do's and don'ts. I hope I'm making sense here.
You are. I think that is a woo. That topic that you're about to get on is another podcast for another time, because we can talk a lot about that. That's another podcast for another time.
We're going to stick to this thing. We're going to stick to the topic. But also about lures. What I think about ticklers and lures, about lures, is that it's not about you. My thing is, it's not about you. It's about both of y'all. It's about y'all both equally having fun and enjoying it. If you're only about your pleasure and your experience, then you don't need to be a tickler. Just watch it on TV, beat your dick and call it a day. Because what happens is, I've seen some videos where I've seen, for example, I've seen a guy who was a shitty lure. And the sad thing is, this guy said he'd been doing this for years, and there was this girl. He had he was a switch. He like one of his girls. He tickled him, and this is the first time this girl ever tickled, and she was better than his ass.
Well, maybe we need to stop right there, and we need to explain what makes a bad lure, because we've been telling people what makes a good lure.
I'm getting there. That was my opening to what I was going to say. What makes a bad lure? That was my opening.
Okay.
What makes a bad lure is anxiety. Anxiety and anticipation can be your worst enemy when you're a tickler. And what I mean by that, if it's somebody you really want to tickle, you've never tickled before, you got to get out of your own headspace. Because when you get this person and you start, like, you let anxiety take over, it messes with your technique.
So basically you're saying that a bad lure is someone that doesn't have any technique.
Yes. If you have no technique, what the fuck are you doing this for?
Well, a lot of people, because I did play with this one guy that just thought like, oh, I just thought that I just go like this tickles.
Let me rephrase that. A bad tickler is someone who refuses to learn a technique. If you don't know what you're doing, that's okay. It's your first time doing it. I said, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I learned this on the way. But if you are still sitting there not willing to learn a technique, not willing to change, switch it up, that makes you a bad tickler.
So you're saying that one thing that makes a bad lure is, number one, is that they are being very selfish. So someone that's being very selfish, not connecting with their lead, also one that doesn't have any technique, and one that is not willing to grow and learn and take the time to grow as a lure.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, even when it comes not only with technique as far as tickling, but as far as bondage. Like, because I've seen someone who did some shitty bondage, and that whole video just threw me off because it was just like, you've been doing this for long, and you still know how to do this shit.
Oof. You hitting so many topics all in one podcast.
I did not mean to do that.
I personally would not think that bondage, me personally as sweet, I do not think that bondage makes you a good lure or good lee, because I understand in the tickling community, a lot of people don't know about bondage, which is why I said last time, I am going to do a whole podcast on bondage. I just have to figure out how I'm going to do it, because I could do self-bondage on me, but it's not really going to show how to do bondage. If I like self to show you guys self-bondage on me, that's not really it.
I did not mean to do that. I'm just aiming to hit so many topics.
It's fine. Gives me more material. But me personally, I don't think bondage has anything to do with your ability as a learner. So me, that's to me, but I do agree with your other four. I do agree that number one, being selfish makes you a bad learner. Number two, not concentrating and not making a connection, not focusing on your lead. Number three, not having any technique whatsoever is horrible. As a lure. Number four, you're not trying to grow. So for me, even though I've been doing this for 18 years, y'all, I've been doing this for 18 years. And in those 18 years, you can ask every single guy that I played with. I always ask them, did you enjoy the session? And what can I do?
Oh, yeah.
And what can I do to make the session better? And what did you like about the session that was great? And so usually the guy was like, tell me like, well, it was fucking torturous and everything else like that, but it was fun. So it was torturous but fun. I was like, okay, that's cool, I like to hear that. And then they're like, there's really nothing that could make it better, except for like, well, some guys actually said like, if you gave me a FJ, that would have made it better. I was like, well, that's not happening. Or some guys that said like, yeah, oh, sex. And I was like, well, that's not happening either.
Said you had, you give an FJ, that would have been better.
Yeah, foot job. Yeah.
That's another thing also that makes that also as far as Lear and you know what? So that's another thing that also makes you a bad Lear, tickler. Having alternative motives.
So you're saying the fifth one, because we're going to take out like, bondage. You're saying the fifth one is having an intentional motives.
Alternative, yeah. Like, if you, because this is just my thing, I think it's just a guy thing. I can't speak on females because I'm not a female. But as people, a lot of guys, they mix tickling fetish with fucking.
That this is true, tickling. Yes.
Like, if you have a tickling fetish, that's one thing. But if you're only having a tickling session with the intent to fuck, you'd already fucked up.
And no offense, because I am just like you, I'm about the whole energy thing. A woman can sense that. I don't know about females because I never played with a female before, but I know for me, if I sense the energy that you have an energy that all you want to do is that you just want to fuck and you just want to fuck me, I'm not having a session with you because I can sense that energy. And actually, because you have that energy out there, that energy will come into your play and it become in your body language. Exactly. Now it's a difference. Now I don't want anyone to mistaking what we're saying is that, so you're saying that me being turned on is that type of energy? No, because remember we talked about before is that having a fetish, you are going to get turned on. So, but being like we talked about before, like I talked about fetishes, even though you have a fetish, that doesn't mean that you need to act on it. So just because you have a hard on doesn't mean that you just need to go fuck anything that because you have a, did you just have an arousal? Just like because I come from being tickled doesn't mean that I am supposed to go and rape you and everything else like that. That doesn't mean that because we're both turned on, that means that we need to engage in sex. Now, if it's consensual, that's another thing. But you shouldn't be getting sessions with women just so that you can go and have sex with them. I have met guys like that, and I'm not.
That's what I was trying to do with. Like that. That's what I was trying to say.
Does make you a backbone.
Like, well, if you, like I said, if you're just being a tickler with the intent to have sex or bust a nut, you have already fucked up. Especially if this person is just somebody who's a. People need to understand the difference between a play partner and a partner. See, a play partner is someone who's just, okay, this is what we're into, this is what we're into, this is what we're going to do. A partner is somebody, okay, I want to bone you, you want to bone me, I realize this is your kink, I'm going to play out your kink. Because I know I'm going to bust his nut. That's a partner.
They call that friends with benefits.
Yeah. But people don't understand that. People mistaken friends with benefits, play partners with friends with benefits. The key word is play, meaning that you're just playing out a scene, you're playing out the fetish. That does not mean that that person has to either help you bust a nut. Or even being part of you busting a nut. Unless that's been explained. Okay, for example, let's say you're a tickler. Okay, I want to tickle you, but I'm just throwing it out there. I want to jerk off while I'm tickling. That's something you should explain. And if that person says yes, okay. But if that person said, well, I don't feel comfortable with that, just tickle me, you as a tickler should say, okay, I don't want to play with you. Don't sit there when I talk about that false sense of security. Don't say, okay, that's not a problem. Then you get her tied up and you're tickling her, and next you know you're whipping your dick out, beating to her, and it's like, wait a minute, we said we weren't gonna do it, but I can't help it. You had already broke the balance of trust.
Yeah, I've had guys do that at sessions with me in the 18 years I've been doing this. I have guys done that, and I literally tell them, like, untie me right now. And I was like, don't touch me, untie me right now. I've had guys that do that. I've had guys that during a session has whipped out their dicks and have put their dick on my feet. And I'm just like, get the fuck off that. Like, nope. I was like, nope, untie me right now. And I get my stuff and I leave and I block them and everything else like that. I've had that happen before.
Now you see what I'm talking about. You didn't broke the balance of trust.
And as a model, when you do guys stuff like that, when you do stuff like that, you don't get a refund. So even if you paid for an hour session, but if you break the trust or you break a boundary, that model is not obligated to give you back your money or anything else like that, because you're the one that fucked up. Just a little FYI. So basically, so you're saying going back to being a battler is basically not having connection with your lead, being selfish, also having alternative intentions, having no technique, and not trying to grow as being a lure, not trying to grow as that. And so you're saying all five of those are what makes up a battler.
Yes.
I have to agree with you on all of those five, because I feel it's the same way. I feel, and many people are like, well, how am I supposed to grow as a lure? How am I supposed to grow as that? Well, you're always supposed to be learning more and more techniques, different ways of tickling people. And like you said, with bondage, learning about bondage and how to get better at bondage, learning about how to connect with people and how to make a connection with people and stuff like that. That's how you get better as a lure. You don't want to be just like standard and plateau and whatever like that, because then no one really wants to play with you. So you see how there were good stuff about lures and bad stuff about lures. For me, also a check off for being a bad lure. This is only for me. So I'm going to add a sixth one to it. Being silent during a session. For me personally, I think that's a bad lure to me. To me, being silent.
I was getting ready to say that too.
Oh, really? Lack of verbal teasing for me.
You really
I'm not, okay, guys, because I know that you guys just had a heart attack. I'm not saying that you being completely silent makes you a bad lure. Because some women and some leads don't like you talking. But for me personally, I do not like silence when I'm playing or having a session or having a scene. I do not like silence. So if you do not talk or anything to me, I'm just like, nope, because I don't want to hear my own laughter the whole time. I don't want to hear my own snorting. So to me, that makes a bad lure, because you're not, to me, it doesn't feel like you're engaging with. That's the reason why I feel like, okay, you're here to do one job, because you only have one mission. You have one mission. And that one mission is you're so focused on tickling me. And like, I feel like that verbal teasing is the whole engaging and making connection and everything else like that. Even though I am what the classify as, I'm a merciless lure type of playfulness. So I make them playful with mercy and torture, tickling, and I slam it together. So I do verbal teasing, because I want to engage with my lure, and I want to have that playful banter while I'm tickling you to death and pushing you past your limits. I want to do both of that. And for me, if there's not that component of verbal teasing, I don't feel like you're engaging with me. And I kind of feel like you're not enjoying yourself, even though I do feel, because you're sitting on me, you're straddling me. I feel it, guys, which I don't get mad. I feel it, because it's a fetish once again, but I feel that you're getting turned on by tickling, but I don't know, do you enjoy it or anything? And for me, the verbal teasing does that. What do you want to say about that, Coley?
Yeah, you know, I feel like if you being silent, unless it's something that was requested, you just kind of hit the nail on the head. It's like when you're not verbal teasing or verbally engaging, that's part of the whole transfer energy. It's like, in my mind, when you're not verbally teasing that your tickling, you're not acknowledging them as a person. What I mean by that is like you're just getting your rocks off and they're just here to fulfill you. Basically, in my mind, I feel like you making them feel like they're cheap. What I mean cheap being like, oh, you're just here to fulfill me. All I want to hear is talk. I don't want to engage you. Just get me off and be done. When you are engaging your tickly, you make it more personal. You make it like, okay, I'm enjoying being with you. And they also puts the tickly in a sense of comfort because when they sit here wondering why she's quiet, the whole time they're thinking, you're messing with the sensitivity. Like you say, it all goes into the sensitivity. Their mindset can change how their body responds. If you're not talking to them and you got some people like, okay, he's not saying anything, it's not saying anything, that could come off creepy. Like, okay, he just got me tied up. He's just doing this. He or she just got me tied up. They're not saying any goddamn thing. They're just getting this in. Okay, what is their other intention? But if you're giving them that banter of teasing or that stuff, it gives them somewhat of a sense of safety. Okay, this person's enjoying themselves. And you're making it playful. Even though you're being mercilessly tickled, like you say, even though you're being mercilessly tickled, you're making it fun. And if they're having fun, you're taking away from the fact that they're being mercilessly tickled to death, which keeps the tickler just going. Which means they're having fun, their body's relaxed, and they're sensitive.
And you want your lead to be very comfortable and sensitive. So if you notice a pattern here, because I have noticed a pattern, I don't know if y'all have noticed a pattern, but what the pattern is that it's all about connecting with the lead. It's all about the lead. It's all about connecting with the lead. It's all about the lead. The lead, if anybody has watched Bridgerton, well, probably not, because my majority of my audience are men. Okay, so men, there's a show on Netflix that's called Bridgerton. It takes
place. I watched it.
Oh, really? Okay.
I feel attacked again.
I'm sorry.
I actually like it.
For the few men, I'm sorry, men. For the few men, maybe less than 5% of y'all, the less than 5% of y'all that have actually watched Bridgerton, it is, you want to treat your
lead like... I'm still mad a Duke didn't come back.
Huh?
A damn Duke make me mad.
Well, I was very mad for other reasons because I just want to see that sexiness of a body. Okay, so I digress. But you need to treat your lead like the diamond. Because in the TV show, the Queen of England, she picks out a diamond every single season in the show. And then they have two seasons out, but every season there's a new diamond. And so that's how you're supposed to treat every single lead that you have. Like they are this diamond and you want to make them feel very special and everything else like that. I forgot to also mention something about being a good learner. I forgot what number we're on for being a good learner, but something else that is about being a good learner is that aftercare. Really important.
I couldn't think of the word, but that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah, as a good learner is that you have to have aftercare. What does aftercare mean, sweet? Aftercare means this. So after you get done with your play, your scene, your session, whatever those three that you want to call it, you need to take care of your lead. Now, they have just been tied up for an hour to, let's say an hour to 3 hours, how long you play, but average people plays an hour to 4 hours. Let's say that your lead and you said that you guys want to play for 2 hours. That lead has been tied up in a position, whether it's like this for 2 hours or like this for 2 hours or like this for 2 hours. I hope you're not having somebody in a hog tie for 2 hours, because that's a lot of strain on the body, by the way. But when we talk about body bondage positions, y'all will understand. But for 2 hours, if you have them bound like that for 2 hours and they've been laughing hysterically for 2 hours, if you were doing it correctly, their body is exhausted. They need to replenish because they are probably dripping in sweat. And if they're like me, they're probably dripping in cum. So they're probably dripping in sweat, dripping in cum. You need to be able to take care of them.
I wasn't ready for that.
Huh?
I wasn't ready for that second part.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was ready.
Disclosure. And so what you need to have in the room, you already need to have cold bottle water for them if you want water. Also having, if you can't have water, Gatorade or vitamin water to replenish them from sweating a lot, giving them a towel or for them to dry themselves off, having some snacks for them, protein bars or granola bars to replenish what they went through. Also, I had one or two guys give me a freaking massage after I got done with having a session. I was like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And also one guy, when they were massaging me, they were massaging my wrist. So if you're using either rope, which I don't see many of you guys using rope, but if you use bondage restraints and you're in that for 2 hours, massage the young lady's wrists and ankles that was on there. So I got a nice massage. I have gotten snacks. I have gotten water, Gatorade. And then, like I told you guys before, the guy that I had a session with last month, he offered beer and whatnot. So that's the type of aftercare that you have to do for your lead. And then just having small talk afterwards, after having the session, having small talk. I had one guy actually take me down to go get some Waffle House one time, but that's really big here. If y'all from up north, Waffle House is like God here in the South. Okay, so took me to go get some Waffle House, but they took me out to eat afterwards to say like, thank you for the lovely session and everything else like that. That's a type of aftercare. I notice battlers don't do that at all. What they do is they untie you like, thanks. And then they get out the door and they already head out. And you're just like.
Yeah, that's what I was going to. It's funny how great minds think alike. I was getting ready to talk about that too. That's another thing that made a battler. Like if you aftercare, I'm mad we on the same page like this.
I'm gonna say it. If you were thinking it, I said it. If I was thinking it, you said it. But aftercare, because what I did, especially when I had my old apartment, after the sessions, I would let the young lady take a like, hey, I got a shower. If you need to clean up, I let them take a nice hot shower. Or if it's really hot, they was like, can you sit? I would turn the air on. You have something to drink, or I would walk if they had to go to the bus or get a ride. I'll give them a ride home. I'll either order them a ride or walk them to the bus stop. Like, hey, look, I want to walk with you. And some of the people, and that's what with me, that's why I had a lot of people who like playing with me, because they was like, what? I said, I want to walk to the bus stop. What? You want to make sure? Yeah. And I also doing self-care. If somebody said if it got too intense, they said, can I get a break? I would take a break between the sessions, let them drink, go to the bathroom, and then go back into it.
That's all aftercare. And once again, if you've seen the pattern, you're treating your Lee like the diamond, and you're focusing on your Lee, and it's not all about you. Now, I have noticed, some guys have done me like this, is that they have done aftercare. They give me the snacks and whatever, and they're like, excuse me, I'm going to have to take care of something. So you can sit here and eat the snacks and whatever, and you can leave at any time you want to, but I really need to take care of myself. That is perfectly fine, fellas, to do. That is perfectly fine to do. I actually respect that on a 1,000th level of a guy saying that. And that's actually what happened, that I drunk some Gatorade and I ate some protein bars and everything else like that while the guy was in the bathroom, did his thing, and then he came out and he's like, oh my God, I feel so much better. And so I am not mad at that, because you want to know why? They still respected me. They did not do it while I was in the room. They went into the bathroom and the privacy of the bathroom and did whatever they need to do in the bathroom. And yes, that was really nice. And then they came back and they walked me to my car and hugged everything and said that we need to do this again and whatnot. That I respect a lot. And that's okay to do. If you really need to relieve yourself. Well, we're grown. We need to fucking masturbate. If you need to fucking masturbate, bust a nut, just go in the bathroom and do it afterwards, please.
It's like, you know what's so crazy though? I mean, for example, since we all being adults here, you already let me know you're dripping in cum. I might as well just say I got a fucking say. You gave me the image. I had a session consistently. The aftercare, I was so good on my aftercare. She rewarded me.
Oh.
Because I was so attentive and so respectful, I was like, okay, I gotta go take care of something. She was like, oh no, you I can help you with that. Like, huh? Yeah, it wasn't really. What? She was like, man, you was like, she was like, you were so kind and so nicely, you ain't always gotta go off and be ashamed of it. So for aftercare for me, she like, I had a foot fetish. She's like, look, I just put my feet on your face while you relieve yourself because you were so attentive.
Hold on. Let me disclaimer. Hello. Do not expect all women to do that. Okay. So that one person that he had a session with. Do not expect all women to do that, because guaranteed this woman would not do that. Okay, so don't expect all women to do that.
Would you was gonna not go let me get that out with you?
No, I just wanted to make sure because
I was gonna give a disclaimer. I know you could just let me do that.
Yeah, I had to do it fast, because I want to make sure that other guys didn't think that this is a common thing.
Listen, it was just a rare moment. I wasn't expected, nor do I ever expect it. And nor do I ask. Because I had situations from my own experience, when you ask, you fuck the whole moment up. And I had someone who never wanted to be around me again, because I made the situation uncomfortable for them. And that's what I tell people. I'm only talking to this because my own experience. All the things I named were things that I've done from trial and error. And that's what I mean about, as far as a tickler, you have to grow and progress. If you feel like, if you're a tickler and your whole purpose is to bust a nut, then you already fucked up. That's how I always feel like. You have to respect the boundaries of all your Lees and not treat every Lee the same. When you start treating all your Lees the same, you're not a good tickler, because you haven't changed it. You haven't been interpersonal. You have to be interpersonal. I mean, you have to have whatever works for that person may not work for that person. whatever tone works for that person may not work for that person. Where atmosphere, there's some people, like for example, even when it comes to bondage, you may have, because I had a situation where someone said, I'll do a session with you, but I don't want to be tied up. And I'm like, okay. And they looked at me like, what? But yeah, like, oh, you're not comfortable. You're not comfortable. And you have to, like I said, you're going to have to respect that. Well, if you go in there and say, well, you have to be tied up, you're not respecting that person's boundaries. Well, you sit there, all right, well, what's the point of me being over here if I can't tie you up? Now, you just ruin a potential play partner because you're stuck in your ways. You have to be flexible. You have to be discreet. You have to be flexible. And another thing is, don't come off as a predator. Just because someone's ticklish does not mean they're going to make a good play partner.
So basically, because we have to wrap this up.
I'm done.
So basically, what you can take away from this is basically being a good lure is being very, very, being very attentive to your lead, not being selfish, making connection with them and treating them like you're the diamond, as well as when it comes to the whole session part of it, having a technique and knowing the body and reading your lead's body mannerisms, body language, and being a battler. Being a battler is somebody that is the opposite of all those, as being selfish, being an asshole, being a dick, whatever terminology you want to use, being all about themselves, not trying to grow as being a lure or anything of that nature. So those are the things that sets apart a good lure versus a bad lure. So I hope you guys enjoy this podcast. I can tell you that next week, what we're going to talk about next week, since I'm going back through all of my redoing all my podcasts where you guys could see my lovely face. I'm still trying to figure out the bondage position one, because I'm trying to find a guy that I can actually do the bondage on during the podcast for you guys. So that's really, really hard to find here in Georgia because everybody flakes in Georgia. So the next podcast I was going to be doing is The Great Debate. It's, you guys know it's out there. The Great Debate is thigh tickling versus feet tickling. That is the great debate in the tickling community. Which one is better? Is it foot tickling or is it upper body tickling? So that is what the next podcast is going to be about, because that got a lot of views.
I feel like it depends on the experience, my personal opinion.
Well, that's going to be what we're going to talk about in the next podcast. In the next podcast.
Am I going to be a part of that? Huh? Am I going to be a part of that?
If you want to be.
I don't know. I'm just excited. Don't mind me. I'm just over here.
Oh, so that's what's going to be the next podcast going to be on. So once again, I'm going to be posting on the social media for you guys to chime in that. What do you think is the better? Is the better one? Is it foot tickling that's superior? Is it upper body that's superior? Or are you like other people, like, it doesn't effing matter as long as
it doesn't matter.
Is ticklish. So that is something that I'm going to talk about next week. And thank you for tuning in. And I will see you guys next Thursday. Bye.